servant. The perfect servant. Let's read the first six verses here of Exodus 21. These are the judgments which thou shalt set before them. If thou buy a Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve, and then the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. If he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master have given him a wife, and she have borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's, and he shall go out by himself. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife and my children, I will not go out free, then his master shall bring him unto the judges. He shall also bring him to the door, or unto the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. He's talking about a servant here. A man bought, becomes a slave, becomes a servant. The law of Moses had three parts to it. There was the moral law. That's the Ten Commandments. Then there's the civil law. God had laws set up to how people are supposed to treat one another, who's going to be the judges, and how people were to be judged. They had a civil law, like we have civil law. And then they had the ceremonial law, where the priest would dress up and do all the ceremonies and all the rites and offer all the sacrifices. They had this three ways that it was all together. In Exodus 21 through verse 23, it's mainly about the law. Now here is what he said in the very first verse. Now these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them. These are statutes, judgments which God gave unto Israel to govern their social and their civil life. And we have laws that govern our social life and our civil life. And that's why God did this. And what has it to do with us? Well, because it's a glorious, glorious picture of our Lord Jesus Christ, of His person and His work. You know, James read it tonight out of Psalms 40, where it talked about the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou hast digged my ear, or bore my ear, digged it. That's what he's talking about. They put a hole in his ear. That's what he says, God did that to me. And Psalm 40 and verse 6. And thy Lord Jesus Christ, and that's what we want to look for here. And we have what returned to the servant and the slave is the type of a perfect servant. Now who in the world has ever been a perfect servant? It's only been one. And that's been the Lord Jesus Christ himself. God said in Isaiah 42:1, behold my servant. Look, this is my servant. Mine elect. God's first chosen. Chosen, he chose him, and then chose us in him. But he was God's first elect. What was he chosen to do? Chosen to be the mediator. Chosen to be the Savior. Chosen to be the one who would die on the cross. Chosen to be the one to obey God. Chosen to accomplish salvation once and for all, and to honor God in all the days of his life. And I tell you, says God called him in Zechariah 3:8, my servant, the branch. And he's called his righteous servant. And he says, my servant, whom I shall exalt and extol. But I want you to, if you keep Exodus 21, look in Philippians 2. Philippians 2. We're talking about our Lord Jesus Christ being the perfect servant. Perfect servant. Philippians 2. You know, this our Master himself told his disciples, if you're the greatest, if you're the chief among them, you're the servant. You be the servant. Well, who was chief among us? Chiefest among 10,000. That he became a servant. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the one that's above everyone else in this universe and in this world. He tells us to be servants. Tells us to serve. And then he turns around and he's the perfect servant. the blessed servant, the glorious servant, God's servant, the righteous servant. And look what it said here in Philippians 2:5. Verse 5. Start right there. Who let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, in other words, he was God manifest in the flesh, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He said, I and my Father are one. And he did not take anything away from his Father. But listen to this. And made himself of no reputation, did not go around bragging on himself and telling all that he accomplished. And took upon him, listen to this, at the form of a servant. Form of a servant. And made in the likeness of a man. Took upon him the form of a servant. What condescension. What condescension. What a coming down. What a coming down. He came down from the honor and the glory. All the things that they did for him in heaven. They done his will and they glorified him and honored him. And his Father loved him. And he came from the bosom of his Father. And he came down from honor and glory where the angels moved at every beck and call. And he came down here and took upon himself the form of a servant. Came down here to suffer as a servant and the shame of a servant. The one who created and sustains the heaven and the earth entered into the place of subjection. Subjection. He could say to the heavens, do this, and the heavens do that. He could say to the sea, stop. And yet, he came down here and became under subjection as a servant. And the book of Mark, if I understand it right, sets before us our Lord Jesus Christ as a servant. And he says, lo, I come to do thy will. And you know the first recorded words of our Lord Jesus Christ was? When he was 12 years old, his mother and father had left Jerusalem. And they went a day's journey, supposing he had been with them. And there's a lot of folks that will go on their journey, supposing him to have been with them. And when he sung that song tonight, just as I am, this fear struck my heart. That what if I get to the end of the way, and I come to the end, and I'm deceived, and I'm fooled. That scares me. I do not want to be deceived. I want to know that I know Christ. And I tell you what, and that's what we want to know about who our Lord Jesus Christ is and what He actually accomplished. I do not want to miss Him. But the first recorded words of our Lord Jesus Christ was this. When they came back and found Him sitting among the doctors and the lawyers, confound them. And they said, son, what have you done? He said, wist ye not that I be about my Father's business. That's the first recorded words of our Lord Jesus on this earth. And he says, I came down from heaven. That's where he come from. I came down from heaven. I left heaven. I came down from heaven. And I didn't come down here to do my will. I didn't come down here to do the things that I will to do by myself. I came down from heaven to do the will of Him that sent me. That's what He came for. And His being Jehovah's servant was a perfect servant, a voluntary servant. And who naturally chooses to be a servant? Who naturally chooses to be a servant? Most of us don't. We like to be served, but we don't like to be a servant. Nobody naturally chooses that. And how different our Lord Jesus is from the first Adam. He was given the place of a servant. You stay here and you tend this garden. You take care of this garden. And he said, and I'll tell you, there's only one thing I don't want you to do. You're my servant. You're in this garden. Tend it. Take care of it. There's a tree over there. Don't you touch it. Don't you eat of it. He didn't say don't touch it, but don't you eat of it. But he was given the place of a servant, but he forsook it. Why? Satan said, you'll be as gods. You'll be as gods. And when you become as a God, you don't have to serve nobody. Huh? And our Lord Jesus Christ was God. God. Yet made Himself of no reputation. In fact, when they were trying to make Him king, He just slipped away from them. He didn't run around talking about it. And in fact, His brothers said, "Oh, listen, if you do all these things, go up to the temple and let them see you. Let them see all these works that you do." But our Lord Jesus Christ didn't go around doing like preachers do today and church folks do today, telling what all they've accomplished and all the things that they've done and all the good works that they're doing and all the gifts that they give and all the prayers that they pray. Our Lord Jesus wasn't like that. He's meek and lowly. Took upon Himself the form of a servant. Got down here to wait on you and me. Oh, He laid aside His eternal glory. And He emptied Himself. And all that most folks saw about Him was a man. But He emptied Himself, laid aside His glory and all that marked His majesty as God, and took upon Him the form of a servant. And when Satan come to tempt Him and says, "Worship me and I'll give you all this," "Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou serve." "Oh, listen, I tell you what, if you're hungry, command these stones to be..." "Oh, listen, man shall live by the bread, by the Word of God, and that alone." And I tell you, so our Lord Jesus Christ, He was a servant, and He served His God. He delighted in His God. He delighted in waiting on other people. He delighted in doing what He would for His Father, for us. And look what it said here in verse 2. Let's go down through here and look at these things. "If thou buy a Hebrew servant, 6 years shall he serve. The service of the servant." His master had a defined claim upon him. 6 years. 6 years. 6 years. His master shall have a defined claim upon him. 6 years. And that servant had a responsibility to that master. And we were come into this world, and we were to serve our God faithfully, but we didn't. And we had a responsibility to God. God who made us and not we ourselves. And our responsibility was to submit to Him, be under complete subjection to Him, to obey His will, and expressed in His law when He says, "Love God with all your heart, your neighbor as yourself." We should have been under that subjection. We should have been that willingly of a servant. But our Lord came down from glory, from the world of glory to this earth, to honor God where the whole human race dishonored Him. Look with me in Isaiah 42. Isaiah 42. Our Lord came from the world of glory to this earth to honor God, to magnify God. And that's why He said in Galatians 4:4, "When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. Think not that I've come to destroy the law and the prophets, but to fulfill them." And we so dishonored God by breaking all His law. We didn't love God, we love ourselves. We didn't love... I just read a message a fellow said, you know, that we're supposed to love one another, that we would actually die for one another. Now, I hope I never put to that situation. I hope, you know, said, you know, we love one another to the point that we'd lay down our life for the brethren. I hope I don't never have to do that. I hope I'm never called on that to do that. I don't know if I could do that or not. But I do know this, that our Lord Jesus Christ, look what He said here in verse 21. "The Lord is well pleased for His righteousness' sake. He, the Lord Jesus Christ, God's servant, will magnify the law." Magnify it. Not just uphold it. Magnify it. Send it out there in great magnification and make it honorable. And that's what he did. He loved God and he loved his neighbors himself as a servant. God's law was written within his blessed heart. He delighted to do his will. He rejoiced to do his will. He meditated in God's law, he says, day and night. And every demand of God was fully met by that one perfect man. And I want you to understand this, that what our Lord Jesus Christ did as a man. He obeyed God as a man. He obeyed the law as a man. He submitted to God as a man. He's a perfect man. And our Lord is the only man who ever fully discharged all the responsibility that the human race had to God and to one another. He's the only one who ever did it. He took what we should have done, and he did it. He did it. Discharged all human responsibility to God and man. And then look what it says here now back over in our text. The 6 years he shall serve, and in the seventh year he shall go out free for nothing. After 6 years, the master had no more claim upon him. And seven, of course, in the scriptures means perfect, means complete, means to be full. His service was completed. He was free to go. And our Lord Jesus Christ, bless his name, he served God in such a wonderful way that when he said, let him go, he had to let him go. Had to let him go. But our Lord Jesus Christ completed his servant to his master, to God Almighty. As far as the law was concerned, our Lord was free to go to glory the moment he fulfilled it in any way. Look over with me in Luke 9, verse 28. Luke 9, 28. When our Lord completed his service to his master, he could have went back to glory right then. Look what it says about our master here in Luke 9. Verse 28. He could have went back to glory. As far as the law was concerned, our Lord was free to go back to glory. Look what it says in verse 28. And it came to pass about an 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered and his raiment was white and glistering, just like it was in Revelation 1. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias or Elijah, who appeared in glory. They was in glory too. And spake of his decease, his death, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. And when they awoke, they saw his glory. They saw that glory. And the two men that stood with him. And it came to pass as they departed from him, Peter said unto him, Master, it's so good for us to be here. Let's make us three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah, not knowing what he said. Now listen to this. While he thus spake, a came a cloud, the Shekinah glory of God, and overshadowed them. And they feared as they entered into that cloud. Remember that cloud that come down on Mount Sinai? Well, this cloud came down right over top of all them men. And now they are, they're standing, and they feared as they entered into that cloud. That cloud came down, and that cloud covered them up. And while that cloud was down on top of them, there came a voice out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son. Hear him. I tell you, our Lord Jesus Christ, He could have went back to glory anytime he wanted to, as far as his obedience to the law was. But now back over in our text. In the seventh, he shall go free. When he's completed his service, when he's perfect service, full service. And look what it says there in verse 3 and 4. If he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ, we're called the bride of Christ. And if his master had given him a wife, well, God gave us to Christ. And she bore him sons or daughters. We're the children of God. The wife and her children shall be her masters. And he shall go out by himself. Oh my. You reckon you could leave your wife and children and go out? You reckon our master could leave his bride and leave his children and go away and leave them to themselves? Do you reckon he could do that? And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master. I love my master. Oh my. I love my master. And my wife and my children. And I'm not going to go out free. You see, there's the only one way in the world we can have union with the Lord Jesus Christ. Through His perfections. His perfections just showed our imperfections. So what He did, beloved, He took all our imperfections on Himself on the cross. And then He turned around and gave us all of His perfections. Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it brings forth much fruit. Much fruit. And so, oh listen, this union, He had this union with His wife, and He had this union with His children. And we have this perfect union with the Lord. Bone of His bone, flesh of His flesh. And look what He says in verse 5. And if the servant shall plainly say, now listen to what it says, plainly. Plainly say. Plainly say. I love my master. I love my wife. I love my children. And I'll not go out. And our Lord Jesus Christ, when He came to this time as Jehovah's righteous servant, He said, Lord, if it please you, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I into the world. And our Lord Jesus didn't think of Himself. He said, I love my master plainly. He loved His Father so well, so gloriously, so good. Love doesn't think of itself at all. He saw that awful hour in which He was going to go. And yet, having loved His own, He loved them unto the end. Love. I love my master. I love Him. I love my master. Love led Him to endure suffering and undertake the service that would last forever on the behalf of His people. And then He said, I love my master. I love my master. Before my wife, before my children. And He done that for the glory of the Father. I love my wife. I love my children. And I tell you, we're the children of God. He's not ashamed to call us brethren. We're called the children of God. And Paul said, I espouse you to Christ as a chaste virgin. Then watch what happens. If the servant shall say plainly, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I'll not go out free. Then his master shall bring him unto the judges. The judges are going to have to hear him say this. Our Lord Jesus Christ before all the judge of all the earth and us before the judge of all the earth. He shall also bring him to the door or unto the doorpost and take his ear and stick it to the doorpost like that right there. Hold it against the doorpost. Take an awl. Everybody knows what an awl is. Stick it through that ear. Stick it to that ear and go all the way through it until it sticks in that doorpost. And then pull it out. Pull it out. and all the doorpost. He said, I'm going to be my master, so I'm going to serve him, devote myself to him and the master's will the rest of my life. And the doorpost was a sign of personal limits. You know, the doorpost was a sign of personal limits. It was by the door the family entered in, and no one else had the right to enter in. And when he brought him to that door, he said, this is where you say that you go stay in here. You go serve me inside this place, inside this home, inside my, as my master, as my servant. And remember when our Lord Jesus Christ or God, He says, you know, take the blood and put it on the doorpost and over the lintel. And when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. And look what it says here. And as long as that servant lived, he carried in his body the marks of a servant. And he bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. And I tell you, that servant, as long as he lived, you know that he loved his master when you seen that hole, is it? Every time you see him, say, boy, that fella right there loved his master. He didn't want to go out free. Well, our Lord Jesus Christ bears in his body the marks. The marks of his death. The marks of his death. Thomas said, I'm not going to believe. He wasn't there when our Lord first appeared to his disciples. I'm not going to believe. I'm just not going to believe. Until I take my finger. And I saw them put the nails in there. I won't believe until I can take my finger and put it through the hole in his hands. I'm not going to believe till I seen them rip his side open. I'm not going to believe till I can stick my hand in that hole in his side. He no sooner said that. No sooner said it. And the Lord Jesus reached forth his hand and said, here, Thomas. Go ahead. Go ahead. Turned his side around. Go ahead, Thomas. Oh. You know what Thomas did? Dead like we do. Fall down before him and say, my Lord and my God. And his master shall bore his ear through with the awl, and look what it says, and he shall serve him forever. And our Lord Jesus Christ's service didn't end when he ascended to glory, ascended to his throne. As he sits right there, he prays for us. As he sits there, he intercedes for us. As he sits there, he takes up our cause. And as he sits there, like he washed the disciples' feet in John 13, and he still washes our feet by his blessed word, and shall serve him forever. Even in glory, our Lord Jesus Christ still serves his master, and he serves us as he serves his master. No wonder Paul said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Our Father, in the blessed, 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 blessed name of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, the one who loved us and gave himself for us, we come in his holy, blessed name, glorious name, precious name, and we thank you that he was your servant, and he served you, and in serving you, he accomplished salvation for us. And even now, sitting at your right hand, he serves you as he ministers to his elect people in this earth. God, we bless you and praise you for our Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we love our Master. We love our Lord Jesus, not like we should. But thank God, not like we will someday. So Lord, let us bear in our bodies the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ by His gospel, by His word, by His truth. And Lord, bless these dear saints of God as they grow. Bless Dorothy, Bill. Please have mercy upon Fran and Bill. for Patrick. Continue to have mercy on Bruce and Sandy and Jordan. Bruce and Joe, Lord, we need you. They need you. They need your grace. They need your upholding power. They need your tender mercies and loving kindness. And Lord, we pray that you'd draw near to them and give them great comfort in their heart, great comfort in their soul, great comfort in their spirit, as only you can do. For Christ's sake, amen. Turn your eyes upon Jesus.
Look for in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light.
See you Wednesday, God willing. Now, the wedding will be next...